So the latest horror film from Radio Silent, Abigail, has hit theaters. Let's review Abigail was directed by Matt Bettinelli Open and Tyler Gillette, also known as Radio Silence. It was written by Stephen Shields and Guy Busick and stars Alicia Weir, Melissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, Catherine Newton, Angus Cloud, William Catlett, and Kevin Durand, as well as Giancarlo Esposito. After a group of would-be criminals kidnap the 12-year-old ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, all they have to do to collect a $50 million ransom is watch the girl overnight. In an isolated mansion, the captors start to dwindle one by one, and they discover, to their mounting horror, that they're locked inside with no normal little girl. Hey everybody, welcome back to Movie Morning. Today I'm going to be reviewing Abigail. This is the latest studio horror film. This one's done by Radio Silence, who previously directed Ready or Not, the 20th Century, and then did the two Scream movies, the most recent ones with Spyglass, which I've enjoyed both of, and I also really enjoyed Ready or Not, which I watched recently. Now, when it comes to their films so far, I would say that they're all good enough and movies that I do enjoy watching, but I've always left all three of them with a particular pet peeve. Like with Ready or Not, I was just very disappointed that the third act felt very underwhelming and didn't really quite hit on the promise it made of just showing this epic new final girl with Grace and what and how she was going to take out all these families. It just felt a little underwhelming. Scream 5 had a few very dumb conveniences, particularly a particular death scene that really frustrated me. And then Scream 6 had, once again, a very disappointing third act that had very lackluster reveals. And I was hoping Abigail would kind of get over that Radio Silence hurdle of always having that one big issue that stopped me from really loving their movies. And I heard great things about this one. I wasn't super excited in the sense that I'm not huge into vampire films, but what I didn't know initially was that this was going to be more in line with their previous films, meaning that it was going to be more of a horror comedy. And I think once I found that out, I got a lot more interested to check this one out. It came out yesterday. I checked it out yesterday, and let's get into the review. And to get right to the point, I think that this film, what it does best is that it pretty much gives the target audience exactly what it's looking for. And I think its target audience is split into two categories. Number one is people who love vampire films. I personally wouldn't consider myself in this category. I do enjoy vampire films. Like, I even really enjoyed Renfield from last year, the most recent example I enjoyed, most people didn't. But of course, that had Nicolas Cage, so there was that added element. But for me, as someone who loves horror comedies and lighter toned horror films that are just fun and over the top, if you're in one of those two camps, whether you love vampire films or just lighter horror comedies, this movie was made for you. And I think you're going to really enjoy it based off that alone. I think the movie gives its target audience, which includes me, what we want from these kinds of movies. And I think it's very self-aware of what it is. And a lot of what makes this movie so entertaining is, again, the over-the-top silliness, but also the ensemble. The cast here is tons of fun. I think Melissa Barrera, out of all the performances I've seen from her so far, which is the two Scream movies, a couple other things here and there, but also In the Heights particularly, I think this is probably the best performance I've seen from her. I think she might, over time, become a staple final girl of this generation, kind of like whatever whoever was 30 or 40 years ago, I guess with Sidney Prescott, but Neve Campbell was only in one franchise. I hope she continues to try out different horror franchises or just standalone films like this one, because I think she has a solid screen presence and I'm down to see more of her. And I think she's improved over the films I've seen her in. I didn't think she was very good in Scream 5, but I think by Abigail, I think she has a much better handle of what she's good at. And one of those things is just being a character who is pretty easy to root for. She's likable, but at the same time, she can absolutely get in on the action, and she does in this movie. There's a surprising, I would say, heart to her character that I wasn't expecting, that I think really elevates the final act. And she is more so the lead character in this movie than I was expecting based off the trailer. So that's just maybe to help set your expectation a little bit. One of the standouts here is Dan Stevens, who's having a hell of a year with Godzilla Kong the New Empire, which wasn't a very good movie. He was the best part in it. And he's one of the best parts in this movie as well. He's super charismatic. He steals every scene he's in. And he's so entertaining. And his dynamic and kind of tension between him and Joey, played by Melissa Ferrera, is one of the more fun aspects of the movie. Kevin Durand also has a super fun role. He has some hilarious moments, like you've seen in the trailer. But what's really great about the ensemble is that they're all unique personalities that bounce off each other really, really well and are memorable. they're not like the best written characters out there. The actors aren't giving Oscar-worthy performances or anything. But it's exactly what this kind of movie and thriller needs, which is a set of characters who you know who each of them are in the sense that you have kind of a defining trait for each of them, like, oh, this guy's the muscle. But also, they have a unique personality. Like Kevin Durant's character, while he's the muscle, he's also kind of stupid. And the movie absolutely plays into that, into some really fun moments. And the way they handle the characters' backstories and standard exposition scenes and reason for why each of them are there, I thought was super fun. And it was a very smart way to handle exposition without giving it all away, which I just complained about with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire a couple of days ago that I saw. This film, I think, handles things like that significantly better. And the cast and the group of kidnappers' rapport and back and forth is really what's holding the movie to at an entertaining standard for most of the runtime. Again, they have fun back and forth, and they're memorable when it's great. But Alicia Weir, who plays Abigail, I also need to give a quick shout out to her. This is very much a kind of star-making performance where she can play an innocent little girl who you absolutely believe to be that, but also turn into an absolutely insane, bloodthirsty vampire, ballerina vampire specifically. And it's super entertaining, and physically, you can tell she did a lot herself, and it looks great. And she was a really great find for Radio Silence. I'm gonna guess she's gonna get tons of more work in Hollywood films because I think she did a great job here, and I think I just have to shout that out because I thought she was very good. And she's able to play different sides of the character really well. I also love the conflicting dynamic of who you're supposed to root for in this movie. I love movies about criminals or kidnappers, and particularly ones that have them as the protagonists, like, for example, heist movies. This movie isn't that, but it's almost like a reverse heist movie when you think about it. But anyways, it's the ensemble and group of kidnappers technically are the characters who you're seeing the movie through, but at the same time, they're obviously not very good people and have done evil things and want to do evil things to the person hunting them in this mansion. But at the same time, because of the fact that there's something else in the mansion doing arguably worse things, you kind of are forced to root for them, and kind of that back and forth between certain characters being likable but being a bit of an a-hole. I love kind of going back and forth between that, and I think this movie does that very well, and I think it keeps the stakes and tension high when a lot of the film and action scenes are inherently very comedic. And just talk about some of the technical parts of this movie. I really liked the score by Brian Tyler, who's done, I think, all of the scores for Radio Silence over the past couple of years. And I think I haven't really noticed that about any of their movies up until now, but I really like the score. There's this kind of, a few of the tunes are very childlike and kind of music that you'd hear, like, kind of aimed at children, but at the same time, there's other ones where it can, you know, plays that usual horror synth or whatever, and it does that well. And then I really liked the mansion setting after I got used to it. I feel like they did a great job of making it claustrophobic. Now, I really like a good old close quarters horror film where you really feel like you're enclosed, but those movies tend to be a lot shorter than this one, like an hour and a half long. This movie's nearly 2 hours. But I think this movie, when it uses the setting well, it's very effective at capturing claustrophobia. But I will get into more about the setting a little later. But I really like the idea of it. And I think there's some really solid scares and a few tense moments, but I think it's more about the fun when it comes to this movie than the scares. But there are a couple scenes, particularly that have very excessive and unexpected gore. And there's one scene involving a bit of a scare of a character just sitting on a chair, but then a character walks up to them and something quite brutal happens, and I'll leave it at that. And it's a really solid, you know, moment to kind of get your juices flowing, and I like the way they handled that. And speaking of the blood and gore, the practical effects in this movie look absolutely amazing, and that's in particular in regards to the makeup effects of characters being, you know, just being absolutely swamped in tons of blood and body parts and everything like that. And I think it's weird to say, but it all looks so authentic. And I think that Radio Silence's dedication to practical effects makes a lot of the action scenes here more entertaining and more visceral in a way, but again, they are very over the top and very comedic. And I think Abigail does a great job of changing up the formula every 15 to 20 minutes once the action kicks in. The first like 40 or so minutes, which is a bit more than I was expecting before kind of things really kick into high gear, is all about the dynamic between the kidnappers and trying to figure out what's going on. Once you sort of have an idea of what's actually happening, which I'll also get into a bit later, the movie has huge twists and reveals that I certainly wasn't expecting in the back half that kind of flip who who's kind of in control, who has the power in certain moments, and also the stakes in scenes, how worried the characters are. I think it does a great job of changing that the dynamic. And because we have such a repetitive setting, which I'll touch on a bit later as well, I think the fact that there were so many twists, stuff about the motivations of certain characters, like, for example, Joey, played by Melissa Barrera, or even kind of where Abigail is in this kind of hunt. And there's a couple of moments, especially that involve vampire lore and the uses of that, and also kind of subverting them and sometimes actually leaning into them. I think there's a great mix of that and working using that really well. I think people who are huge fans of, you know, vampire movies and vampire lore are going to really appreciate that this movie does sneak them in there. And I was worried that because this movie feels so focused on kind of the close quarters horror action that it would lose some of that. I can tell you that that doesn't happen at all, and I was pleasantly surprised by that. And I think it helps to keep the audience on its toes. But at the same time, there's some sequences that are more kind of where you can tell that Abigail has a bit of the advantage. Sometimes our kidnappers have the advantage. And I think because of that, and kind of that constantly switching dynamic, it makes for a watch that constantly keeps things fresh, and I like that. And by the time we get to the third act, this film and the silliness goes absolutely off the rails in the best way possible. It went so hard and I absolutely loved it. There are some great action, which I wasn't expecting, and there's a really great fight scene kind of towards the end of the third act. And it's kind of everything I hoped the finale of Ready or Not would be, and I just couldn't help think of, not exactly that, you know, we have a vampire, but just that leaning as hard as you can into the premise, which is you have this little girl vampire chasing these six kidnappers throughout this mansion. They might not all be there by the time we get to the third act, but it leans into the silliness and the camp of a lot of 80s vampire films. But at the same time, the practical effects look great, and a lot of the appearances can still look really horrifying. And the finale of Ready or Not felt very underwhelming, kind of the way they had the ritual and what happens once we get to the time that's talked about through most of the movie. This movie has all the, you know, balls to the wall, you know, blood, gore, it's everything that I think people wanted in that finale. I think Radio Silence kind of take everything they've learned throughout their movies so far and put it into this. I think you can definitely tell, and I really respect them for doing that. And it doesn't waste, again, its vampire inspirations at all. And speaking on the whole movie, I think the third act is a good microcosm for the film. If you get to the third act and you're at the point where certain things happen and you're like, this just went totally bananas and I love it, I'm going to guess you're probably going to end up really enjoying this movie, which is unfortunate because that means you have to wait all the way until the third act to kind of see where you are. But if you're someone who gets to the end of the third act and is pretty turned off by things, I don't think you're quite the target audience for this movie. And there's nothing wrong with that. Certain movies are made for some people and some are not. And I think the whole film leans into the silliness and embraces its horror comedy roots. And I just wish we got more movies that did that. So I think this movie does that, and that's something I really like. Now, getting on to certain things about this movie that maybe bug me and might bug some other people. Again, this is one movie where I think you should know if you're the target demographic. That's whether you love horror movies or you love vampire films. If you're any one of those, or horror comedies, I should say, I think you'll really enjoy this movie. But if you're not, I can't really say this movie does much more than that. And that's kind of where a lot of my problems lie with this movie, is that, not a lot, I really don't, because the thing I was going to say is I really don't have many actual problems with this movie, like Scream 5 and 6, or Ready or Not. But what I will say about Abigail is, although there's a cool ballerina vampire, and it utilizes its effect of setting well and all that, and it's a really tight, fun movie, I do think that there isn't quite that X factor, or game-changing thing for the genre that's going to make this one of the best movies of the year, or one of the best vampire films of all time, one of the best horror films of all time. And I don't know if that's just to do with this inherent kind of genericness of kind of the studio horror films that Radio Silence have been involved in. I'm not saying that they don't make good movies, they absolutely do, but they have a very kind of, I would say, does the job feel to their movies. And while this, I think, I'll say right now, is I think the best of their movies, I don't know if they've quite moved beyond that yet into an upper echelon of horror filmmaking, even like comparing them to like Wes Craven, who started the Scream movies and they took over from, although that's a completely unfair comparison. You can't expect every horror filmmaker to live up to Wes Craven. But I don't know if there's, again, quite that X factor, quite that game-changing element to make this movie, again, like one of the best movies of the year. at the right now, it absolutely is one of the best movies of the year, because we were like 4 months into the year, and most of the best movies are saved for the back half of the year. But this is a film of simple pleasures, and it gives you what you want if you're the target audience. And that's really where this movie excels, and that's why I personally had an absolute blast with it. But I wouldn't go into this movie expecting much more than the premise offers. But I would say you can absolutely expect them to lean as hard into the premise as they should have. And I think that was a really nice surprise for me. And I will say a couple of potentially things I was a little mixed about in this movie that I could mention that maybe hindered my experience a little bit. One is I feel like the locations, while I like the mansion setting, because this movie is nearly 2 hours long, I feel like we went to the same rooms a few too many times. Again, I feel like there maybe should have been a few more rooms added. I know you don't want to make an unrealistic, huge mansion, but we've seen much bigger mansions in many movies, even like the stuff in Ready or Not, I feel like was a little more varied than in this movie. But again, I think that movie is far more flawed than Abigail, so I don't know if... I don't think that had anything to do with it, but I guess you could infer that. And I do think this movie takes a little too long to get to revealing kind of the ballerina vampire. And it's not a spoiler to say that, because it's been plastered all over the posters, all over the trailers, all over the synopses and everything like that they've released for this movie. And I think the issue, why I think this is a problem, is the trailers and marketing's fault. Because if I went into this movie not knowing what was really going on, who's taking out these kidnappers, then it would be such a great twist, and that kind of whole tension of the characters debating exactly what's going on, kind of the mystery behind this underworld ruler who is this girl's father, it would have been fascinating, and I would have been so into the movie. And at the same, and to be fair, I kind of was, because I love the characters. But in terms of the actual story, I didn't find myself quite getting fully into it until we actually started revealing what was going on to the characters. I thought it was a bit frustrating because of the fact that it took a while to get going, and then it still had, like, and we only really had, like, I believe under an hour by the time we really started revealing what's going on with the action. And I feel like this movie maybe was about 15 minutes shorter, and you maybe got to the action quicker, but still had that tension, which I think you could do shaving off, like, a good 10 to 15 minutes from this movie. I think it would have been an even more solid, tighter watch that maybe would have been less frustrating in the first act, because you already know what's going on, but the characters don't. But I wouldn't say this is a full-on negative, because, again, the characters have fun enough chemistry to where you're at least engaged in the conversations. And the last thing I'll say is I think Radio Silence and their writing team, whether that's Guy Busick and Stephen Shields in this movie or James Vanderbilt with the Scream films, rely a little too heavily on characters making some dumb and very out-of-character decisions, which lead to some very odd conveniences. Like, there's a scene in this movie involving a character hidden behind a cage, I'll say, and what some of the characters decide to do, and even one of the characters who had a very, you know, particular personality before that point, he just makes a decision that's so out of character that frustrated me. And it's kind of like that, it's nothing quite as bad as the Dewey death in Scream 5, which I thought was just really poorly done. Emotionally, sure, it worked, but the mechanics of how it happened, him just walking up to him with that slow kind of melodramatic dropping of the bullets and then going right up to him instead of just handling him right on the spot and taking forever, it was such a frustrating scene to watch. There isn't quite anything as bad as here. It is much better. There are much less conveniences than Scream 5 and 6, but there's still enough of them to where I thought I definitely noticed them, and I'm usually someone to pass off stuff like this, but it's becoming a recurring trend in their movies that's a little frustrating. And one thing I will say is I don't know if it fully utilizes the ballerina aspect. They fully take advantage of the fact that she's a vampire, but I feel like some of the action scenes maybe could have been a little more involved in that aspect of Abigail's character. But overall, guys, I thought Abigail was a highly entertaining and super fun, bloody vampire film that I highly recommend people who love the genre, love horror comedies, love vampire films, go see in theaters. It's got a terrific ensemble with some really fun performances, a great new young star with Alicia Weir, and some fantastic practical effects, tons of twists, turns, and reveals, and a third act that is so bonkers that I think if you, again, love horror comedies, love vampire films, you are going to absolutely eat it up. It might not do anything new for the genre, but I think it absolutely does everything it wants to do very successfully. I'm going to give Abigail a B+. And as I've repeatedly stated multiple times throughout this episode, if you're a fan of vampire films, you like lighter tone horror films, this is one that you should absolutely go see in theaters when you've got the time. And but if you're not, I would say you might still want to give this a try and at least go with people who do enjoy the genre because they'll definitely have a great time. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I will catch you all next time. I'll try to get a review of Rebel Moon Part 2 out this week. Bye bye.